Well, welcome to the show, Black History Matters 365, our special show every Thursday, Real Relationships with Dr. T, the people's psychologist. What an incredible time for you all, audience, to be with us again. Because again, Dr. T is bringing us wonderful people to the table that's in this incredible stage or platform that God has given him to talk about relationships. So without further ado, I'm not going to hold it up because I know this is going to be another great show. You know how we do. We tell you the truth and we give you the facts and then we give you something to go on to make it happen. Today, we have special guest Ron Hickey. Ron Hickey is the founder of Helen Institute out of California. And he will be telling you more about himself. I love their underlying message at Helen. It says the Human Endowment Leadership International, inspiring the advancement of human spirit. I love that. It's so amazing because at this time in life, we need that. We need inspiration right now. We need some type of inspiration to get us back into thinking ahead of what we are in today's time, and pushing us to be better, as I always say, and not bitter, and moving forth and connecting with the spirit that is inside of us, that God has given us. And I know this is what Mr. Hickey and Dr. T are going to be talking about today, connecting back to the real who we are, and then involving the people like the teachers, the parent, and everybody else, even the uncles and aunts around us, just really holding younger people accountable because we need that today. So Dr. T, it is again a pleasure to have you and a pleasure to have this special guest. So I'm going to turn the show over to you and let you introduce us, or Dr. Hickey introduce himself to us. Whichever way you're going to do it, and just go ahead and hit us with this incredible topic.
Well, thank you, Sister Joanne. Welcome, audience. We're glad that you tuned in to Dr. T, the People Psychologist podcast. I mean, I'm really excited today about this gentleman here sitting next to me here in my office on Gevecka's campus, Brother Ron Hickey, the founder of Helen Institute. And look, this brother is all about the advancement of the human spirit. I mean, he's contagious about it, and sometimes he's been has a reputation of being reckless about it. But either way, he's about the good of the human advancement and human spirit. And Ron, just welcome your brother to the Dr. T podcast. And I'm just so grateful, brother, to have you here, a longtime friend and mentor.
Well, thank you, Dr. T. And it's an absolute pleasure to be here and have the opportunity to have a conversation with you in front of your audience.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And so, you know, today it's a special day for us. We're me and Ron got together occasionally, but meeting out in California and seeing the work, the dynamic work you're doing out there, man, is just phenomenal. So would you mind sharing a little bit to our audience today about the phenomenal explosion that you're causing out there with the Helen Institute in California for advancement of the human spirit of young people?
Absolutely. But let me say it this way. You know, it's really not about me. It's about all of us. Mm. So I'm not big on expressing who I am, but really what we all collectively bring, you know, to the diaspora. Mm-hmm. You know, inspiring the advancement of the human spirit starts with who we are matters. You know, quantum psychology says at the molecular level, who we are matters. Our experiences, where we're from, our parenting, our education, everything that becomes, if you will, everything that pours into us, it creates a human spirit. Mm-hmm. And then that human spirit, if we say who I am matters, then who the other person is matters. So as we get more into this conversation, you will hear me come back to that basic theme. The first step of inspiring the advancement of the human spirit is first to say, who we are matters. And that's the work we're doing in California. That's the work that the Helen Institute intends to do. And we focus on school-age students because that is the age where we have the greatest opportunity to build strong humans. Frederick Douglass says it best. He said, "It is easier to build strong children than to fix broken men."
Mm.
So the Helen Institute intends to do the work on the bank and not wait until these children are thrown into the river. The work is easier on the bank than it is in the river.
Mm. Man, that's a powerful, powerful precept, my brother. And as we take a plunge out here into this lake of opportunities for the human endowment and human spirit, I just want to say just the uniqueness of how God has shaped this for us. And it's important, like you said, to know that whole wheel of the human person and that we are important and to know who we are. But it's a process, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I'm excited about what we're going to try to share today about how to get the tools. The world is looking for tools and how to find out that best them, you know. And I think you've got a fantastic way of showing these kids and parents and teachers, equipping them with how to become their best selves. So in these days, Ron, people are trying to jump over the process. They're trying to gain a cadence, as you will, to get the steps in line. How do you think, what are some good possibilities of trying to figure that out? How can we get in the right step of the person of who we are and succeed? What do you think is hindering some of the younger people these days?
I think the initial step, you know, to respond to your question, Dr. T, is first you have to let people know that there's an apparatus that they must engage.
Mm.
When we speak specifically of education, students and parents, and oftentimes even the system itself, does not understand there is a pace to education. As I say, you know, education is a function of time.
Mm.
And time is also an acronym. Time is teacher instructed material exposure.
Mm.
The more time a kid spends being exposed to that education, the more he or she's going to remember.
Mm.
And so if one kid puts in 5 minutes of study time and another kid puts in 4 hours of study time, we all know the kid that puts in 4 hours is going to have a better chance of performing at the end of the day than the kid who just puts in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so most kids are not aware that there is a cadence to this process.
Mm.
That's why when we go into the military, the first thing the military does is teach everyone to march at a cadence.
Mm.
And people, and you don't understand that going into the military until you start to march at this cadence and realize the purpose of it is, if there's no cadence, then we all are not moving together.
Mm.
You have to let students know, you have to move in lockstep with the system.
Mm.
Parents need to know that the students need to move in lockstep with the system. You have to keep pace.
Mm.
And so if a teacher expects you to read 50 pages in a book over the night, and you only read 20 pages, then you're 30 pages behind.
Mm.
And the 30 pages that day compounds with the 20 pages the next day, the two books you didn't read over the summer. So by the time you get into high school, look at all of the work that you did not do. You're not keeping pace. Students need to be told there is a pace to this.
Mm.
Formal education is a function of time.
Mm.
Teacher instructed material exposure.
Mm.
How much time are you giving?
Mm.
To the work you're supposed to be doing.
Hmm.
And you also have to, something that we miss, Dr. T, is that we do not, in a smart way, inform young people. Going back to what Frederick Douglass said, it's easier to build strong children than fix broken men.
Yeah.
It's that brokenness begins with the lack of education.
Hmm.
We find by the time we're in middle school, high school, if we have not been in lockstep pace with the system, We're broken. Now, we don't know that until we go out and start to look for jobs and not qualify.
Yeah.
Correct?
Correct.
Can't speak the language mm-hmm. of the community.
Mm-hmm.
We're not living in harmony with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say that the system has failed us, but we did not take advantage of the system. We did not know that we had a responsibility to stay at pace with the system.
Wow.
And then we end up broken.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at crime in America, there's a profile that the overwhelming majority of crime victims and crime suspects
yeah.
are undereducated.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The more highly you're educated, the less likely you are to be part of a crime.
Mm.
Right? And those are facts.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at, for instance, George Floyd, and look at some of those dynamics. It's unfortunate how he was murdered. But what's more unfortunate is how he got to that position in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? He was a severely undereducated man in America who did not know that there was a pace to this. George Floyd mm-hmm. was a broken man.
Mm-hmm.
And we failed to build a strong child in his youth. So therefore, we didn't know how to fix a broken man.
My.
He finds himself in circumstances that led to his horrible and untimely murder.
My. And Spike, that is so powerful. When I look at this in some of the specialties that I do, when I look at it in terms of two things, we tend to want to try, and would you see what you think about this? We tend to want to try to change the child without giving the child an exchange of the tools to be able to change. It's just like starting work on a car. If you ain't got the right tools, you get frustrated because every time you got to stop what you're doing and you get far and further behind from fixing your car. So we need to find out what are the climates. In culture change, we talk about climate. Culture is stuff that's embedded. It's the long-term habits, the things we believe. Let's say that. But climates are things how we feel, things within the temperature of the culture that we have to put in place that are usables to be able to transform the end product. And that's what you're saying, I think, is you're equipping them with getting on the pace with the climate tools to be able to become successful and change from being uneducated to knowing that they can think. You know, I got one statement I always used to say.
Okay.
To believe in your own thoughts, to believe what's truth for you in the private of your own mind, that's intelligence. To create a sense of a person that could create a person that they can be able to think and believe and that they can think on their own and to do the hard work of that is pivotal. Anybody can succeed if they put the time in. Is that what you're saying? With the right tools?
Anyone can succeed if they put the time in
mm.
and keep pace with the environment that they are graced to be in.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
And there's a responsibility on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
But when we speak of children, up until a certain point of their life, the major responsibility is on the parent. We have to parent like crazy to these kids.
Yeah.
Too many kids in America are not parented. And those who are not parented, they're not parented well.
Mm.
Right.
And so we have to stop allowing market-driven devices to parent our kids.
Mm.
You know, we have parents who have no idea that their children are up until 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning on electronic devices
yeah.
and going to school to sleep.
Wow.
We have children that I work with in California that fall asleep in the middle of an exam.
My.
And the parents have no clue.
Wow.
There's no way where I grew up in Bagwell, Tennessee, as a child, that I could have, one, been up all night past midnight, and my parents did not know.
Wow.
Mm. And so that's why I've come up with this concept of pace.
Yeah.
Students have a pace, the teachers, the system has a pace, and the parent has a pace. But the most critical position if you will, on this three-legged stool is the parent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The parent sets the pace.
Mm.
The parent has to be the chief administrator over a child's education, not the school, not the principal, not the public.
Mm-hmm.
So as a parent, I took my responsibilities seriously.
Yeah.
I guaranteed that when my kids went to school, I put the best child possible in that seat.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids knew if I received a phone call from that school,
mm-hmm.
it was going to be some trauma in this house.
Right?
So one way that I met my responsibilities, my children did not get access to television on school nights.
Mm-hmm.
They had unlimited access to it on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But your academic progress was not going to be hindered by a television.
Mm.
To this day, my children don't play electronic games.
Mm.
I did not introduce that to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a result, I got a child that's at Baylor, and one is probably on her way to the University of Oregon.
Mm. Awesome.
Right?
Mm.
Because they have been parented.
Mm-hmm.
We did not give them devices.
Mm-hmm.
So parents, the parent pace is parental administration of child's education.
Yeah, I like that.
What are you doing as a parent?
Hmm.
Now, for the child's pace is prevalent academic cadence in education. What are you going to do as a child to make sure you keep in pace?
Yeah, yeah.
How many times does a parent have to tell you, hmm. turn that phone off, hmm. do your homework? Mm-hmm. Let me check your grades.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this, I'm going to give it back to you, Dr. T.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I have friends who confided in me that their daughter, when asked, did you turn in your homework?
Mm-hmm.
She said yes.
Mm-hmm.
She took them to the website to show them that she had uploaded her homework to the portal that the school was using.
Mm-hmm.
They later learned what she had uploaded was blank.
Wow.
Right?
Hmm.
But you have students who are doing this systemically in this country. They're turning in homework that is blank to satisfy the parent at home. So these are some of the tools you refer to. What other tools can we give parents? Because some parents are trying, but the students are still manipulating the system because students have not been taught and bought into the fact that there's a pace they have to take care of as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So collectively, how do we do that as parents, community leaders, and go in and start to have an impact on the lives that these young people intend to have? Because in most cases, they do not know that they're on a path to brokenness.
Yeah.
We're not telling them soon enough.
Mm.
In the conversation you and I was having a few weeks ago, it was you who said, it's not just what we say.
Yeah.
It's when we say it and how we say it. Correct?
Yes, correct.
Oftentimes, we don't know what to say.
Mm-mm.
We're saying it way too late. and we say it in such a way that it disenfranchises everybody in the conversation.
That's powerful, man.
Right?
That's exactly right. Well, and what I hear you talking, my brother, is that this parent process, let me call it, is parents need to develop a series of actions or steps with their kids to achieve a particular end.
Absolutely.
Let me say that again. The parent process to keep pace with their kid is to create a series of actions or steps to achieve a particular end.
Absolutely.
That's parent. Man, look here. That's Emma Jean Stoker. That's Miss Hickey. This ain't new.
Every day.
All day.
They are the poster children for
Come
it.
Come on now. Come on.
Because we've broken this down to seven basic steps.
Talk to them.
And it is our parents.
Sure.
Right? The first step is you got to set the pace for your kids, correct?
Absolutely.
You got to set the pace.
Absolutely.
A lot of it is what you're doing as a parent.
Yeah.
You know, are you getting up going to work every day?
Come on.
Are you getting your degree? Are you setting the example? Set the pace.
Hmm.
The second step is you have to establish education expectations.
Hmm.
What do you expect?
Hmm. Hmm.
I didn't tell my kids you're going to college. They grew up knowing that was the expectation.
Absolutely. And if I didn't have the expectation, Emma Jean Cochran had one.
That's right. Or a belt.
You right. Who?
Right. You know, it, something's going to heat up in here.
Absolutely.
Either those books or your butt.
Right? You don't want.
So you,
make, you get to choose.
You get to choose.
But it's gonna did you say the books are your butt? Did you say the books are your butt?
Books are your butt. Something's going to be hot said. Up in here. You make the choice.
Absolutely.
I chose the books.
You made the right choice. Woo, that's good stuff, man.
And the third thing parents have to do is you have to establish a learning environment.
Wow. You got to say that one more time.
Parents have to establish a learning environment within the house.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Kids have to have a place. Like when we come to work, we have an office. Yeah. It's an environment for working.
Yes.
Kids need an environment for learning.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
No TV. No. Everybody can be running around in their space. Other kids going in and out. They need in a space where they know when you walk into this space, it's only for one thing, is learning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then parents have to manage expectations and manage that environment.
Mm.
Just can't set it up. Then you got to manage it.
Yeah.
You got to maintain it.
What does that look like? How do they manage it, the space? I mean, what are they saying to the kids?
It starts with that expectation.
Yeah.
And that conversation.
Yeah.
When you're in this space,
because
it's a function of time, this is not space you run into and leave in 5 minutes.
Right.
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 You set goals.
Mm-hmm.
How much homework do you have to do today?
Mm-hmm.
What's the expectation? Once you finish your homework, I want you to study X amount of time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that space is sterile.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in it that's going to distract that kid from educating.
Can I chime in on that a little bit, brother?
Absolutely.
Here is, I'm going to tell the audience this too, and I want to ask you, is you think this is true? Long-term memory, here's a brain activity.
Absolutely.
Long-term memory is formed by repetition.
Absolutely.
How do you get stuff stored in your long-term? That usually lasts weeks, psychologically, or years.
Absolutely.
Short-term, maybe a minute or two. But repetition, if anybody practices what this man is saying and use it repetitiously, anybody can learn. And I know it by myself, because when I went to school, I thought I was going to be a basketball player. But I wouldn't work 2 cents because I didn't have no strong work ethic.
That's right.
Did you know that Steph Curry has a 60%, he has a 43% shooting percentage. And he leads the NBA in best shooting percentage, 43%.
43%.
But 60%, he missing 60% of his shots.
That's right.
That, you know what that tells me? That people ain't going to see my misses.
That's right.
That's where the work is. That's where it happens, is in your work. It's in your misses that people don't see. That's your most important work.
Absolutely. Michael Jordan said it this way. He said 26 times my team trusted me to take the game-winning shot and I missed.
Wow.
But no one remembered those misses. We talk about the times he took that game-winning shot,
right,
and he made it. What Jordan says, he said, and he ran down the number of shots he missed in a game,
yeah,
the number of free throws. He said, I missed over and over again so that I could be successful.
I could be successful. Wow. Wow.
I missed over and over again.
Wow.
So that I could be successful.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. That's strong. Michael Jackson, been making the Thriller album, the most popular Thriller album on the planet, right? They developed 24 tracks of music and they only used, guess how many? Nine. What we got to get over is stop getting stuck on our misses and understand that our misses are a prelude toward our hits.
And here's another thing, T, that goes with long-term, short-term memory.
Yes.
We said earlier, education is a function of time.
Yeah.
How much time do you spend with the material your teacher trying to expose you to? Correct?
Correct.
Here's what's interesting.
Okay.
You and I get a letter in the mail. It's an invitation to a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And all the invitation says, at the end of the competition, someone will be crowned as the greatest.
Right?
Well, shoot, I'm great at something. Let me take my greatness in here and go to this competition.
Yeah.
You know, we look up, we get there. You know, there's Sister Joanne.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other folks we know.
Yeah.
You know, there's a boar, mm-hmm. you know, an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fish in a bowl. There's a giraffe. There's mm-hmm. a shark.
Mm-hmm.
We say, oh, man, all the God's creatures are here, you know. And then, you know, the exam proctor comes out and he says, well, thank you, everyone, for coming.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're going to crown the greatest.
Yeah.
You know, and we're looking around and said, I don't know what the poor fish in the bowl is going to do. And the
mm-hmm.
chimpanzee's over there having a party. And the guy says, today's test is tree climbing. We say, oh, heck, tree climbing. So I couldn't climb a tree as a kid.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a grown man, and the test is tree climbing.
Mm-hmm.
The chimpanzees are already celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
The fish in the bowl is saying, why'd I even bother to come?
Yeah.
Joanne is over there shaking her head. And man, tree climbing.
Yeah.
But that's the test.
Mm-hmm.
Zam Proctor says, go. Sure enough, chimpanzees up and down that tree before anybody else can get started.
Mm-hmm.
And they're celebrating.
Right.
We're the greatest.
Yeah.
All the rest of us feel defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The moral of that story, Pastor T, is an audience.
Mm-hmm.
is that in life, it's always the exam that determines who's the greatest.
Mm.
So wisdom says, don't subject yourself to exams you're not prepared for. We're not tree climbers, right?
Right.
So why go take a test for tree climbing?
Mm-hmm.
We're all great at something, so you got to find that exam that's going to result in you feeling great.
Yeah.
Oftentimes when we miss, someone tells us, well, you're not good at that.
Mm-hmm.
They do not encourage you to take the next shot.
Yeah.
Or they do not encourage you to go do something that you're great at. We let kids walk away feeling defeated, and we don't give them another platform to readjust their own self-esteem. Because what we find is that essentially in education, when we start to evolve into that brokenness, what's a true loss?
Hmm.
And not getting the education. You lose your self-esteem.
Yeah.
If you get held back two or three grades, you lose your friends.
Odds are you're going to get on drugs.
You lose your awareness.
Probably drugs.
You get on drugs and alcohol because you have lost your positive outlook on life.
Absolutely.
And it all began because you showed up for the wrong exam
mm-hmm.
and you don't feel that you're great.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's real good.
You don't hear anything, audience. In life, do not subject yourselves to exams that you're not prepared for
because
the outcome is devastating.
Yeah.
It's devastating.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we don't recover.
Yeah.
Because the next time you get that invitation in the mail,
mm-hmm.
what do you do with that invitation? Mm-hmm. You throw it in the trash.
Right.
And it could be your exam.
Could be your exam. And I want to challenge what you said. That's so powerful, brother. That's levitating right there. We got to challenge these parents. Parent, if you're a parent, start parenting. And we understand that you're going to, I'm not trying to check you or get in your space. What I'm trying to say is, Ron is going to discuss with you before we leave here some tools that you can use. I know what it's like to look at something and say, well, I don't know how. But now he's going to give you some tools to be able to use to how to be a parent that's engaged in their child. There's a Tanzanian proverb that says a boat can't go forward if both rows its own way. So get in the proper cadence of your kid. Get in the way that they're going. That's what a parent is. Get in the way of where your kid is going academically. That's going to be a key to their success. If you ain't engaged, they ain't going to be able to do it.
Absolutely.
Can you give us some tools, brother? Share with us some tools that you shared. You shared some, but is there any, share some tools that have your parents?
And here's the tools that I use for my own children.
Yeah.
You know, my children was the lab, their experiment. So this is not something that's, these tools are not arbitrary.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, I got a daughter that's doing well at Baylor University
mm-hmm.
and one that's on her way to, hopefully, the university of her choice.
Mm-hmm.
I said earlier, my children had a learning environment. They were given, they had an office and a desk and a chair in their bedroom. We understand we all have different means. And everyone may not be able to afford a desk and a chair and a lamp and a computer in a kid's office, right? But every home has somewhere to eat. That dining area can become that learning environment.
Yeah.
It's also allows you, a parent, to have direct oversight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in today's time, that learning environment, let it be somewhere open in the house. Mm-hmm. Let it be the kitchen. Everyone comes in and out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at what they're doing on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wi-Fi. You know, you can use parental controls and you can set a time for that Wi-Fi to be shut off.
Mm.
You know, good. When you go to bed, have your children bring you their phones.
Mm.
Bring your phones. You're at home. You don't need a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so children go to bed with their phones and they're up talking, texting
mm-hmm.
on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what?
Mm.
All 15-year-old boys in this country spend 75% of their time, their internet time, on websites we would not want them on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say what those websites are. We all can use our imagination.
Mm.
75% of their time, they're on websites that are not appropriate for 15-year-old boys.
Mm.
And as parents, we have no idea they're on their websites.
That's probably.
But research shows what websites are most frequently accessed between 10 p.m. and 4 or 5 a.m. by teenage boys.
Wow.
And parents are sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm. And so I'm going to run through some additional tools.
Okay.
Set goals for grades.
Mm-hmm.
Set goals for attending college. Set goals for life as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Meet with your teacher. Discuss these goals.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do goals arbitrarily.
Mm.
Make realistic goals with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this.
That's good.
Let me say this about, and it goes back to the long-term, short-term memory. Irrespective of what you have been told, and I don't have a plaque on the wall that says I have authority to say this, but this is my own personal experiences. Children do not have learning disabilities. Every child can learn. Every child can learn something. If we don't look at it as a disability, every children have their own pace of learning.
Right.
The system just needs to be in alignment with that pace of learning.
Mm.
And so we don't have learning disabilities in this country. What we have is teaching disabilities.
Absolutely.
Not every teacher can teach every child. Not every teacher can teach every child, but every child can learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we oftentimes got to find the system or the means which that child learns.
Mm.
In African-American community and brown communities, we've convinced children that they have learning disabilities.
Mm.
We need to correct that notion. There are no learning disabilities. There's teaching disabilities.
Mm.
And a lot of that goes along with this new phrase that's coming up in education, that pedagogy with which we use to communicate with each other.
Mm.
It's not there.
Mm.
So in America, 94% of teachers are white females.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful at what they do, but it does not mean they can teach everybody.
Mm.
And so these kids who are not learning at the proper pace, they need teachers that can readjust their teaching abilities that aligns with the student's learning pace,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find a major difference.
Mm.
And so, but going back to these tools, we have to use these tools so that children and parents are doing their best to adjust their pace to align with the pace of the teachers, because that 94% of white females that's in education, public education in this country, it's not going to change anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we say who we are matters. Who that white teacher is matters.
Mm-hmm.
Who that black parent is matters.
Yeah.
Who mm-hmm. that Hispanic male student is matters.
Mm-hmm.
Who that little Asian girl is matters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We matter.
Yeah.
So we can't discount who we are. But there is a unifying factor that must come into this preview, this purview, if we're going to say everybody's going to get the best education that we can. Public education is not set up for a person to get the best education that they can. Hmm. It's set up for those who have a pace of learning that aligns with the pace of teaching.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, it's not our kids. It goes back to what exam are we asking them to take?
Mm.
So if a kid is taking an exam and an exam question is, what is a brook? There's only certain kids who have the experience to know what a brook is.
Yeah.
If you say a small stream of water or a small lake or a pond,
mm-hmm.
then you help kids, you help more kids get that question correct.
Yeah.
But when you say it, but when you ask, is it a brook? That question is only set up for so many kids to get that answer correct.
Right.
And those are the exams our kids are subjected to.
Mm.
It's not exams meant for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get serious with these tools
mm-hmm.
to prepare our kids
mm-hmm.
for a system that's not necessarily aligned with their pace of learning, right?
Mm.
So parents, other tools, monitor and inspect. You should be looking at kids' homework grades. And before you get to the grade, look at the homework they're turning in every day.
Mm.
If they're supposed to attach something to a website, let me see what you attach. Make sure there's work done on that.
Mm-hmm.
And some parents we recognize do not have the ability to know if a calculus problem is correct or algebra problem is correct. They didn't read the history book. But you have to be the chief administrator of that child education. So that means you've got to get involved. You have to read some of that chapter.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know some basic math.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone has some basic math.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to monitor and inspect.
Mm-hmm.
Check your students' grades weekly.
Mm-hmm.
To check them once a month is too late.
Mm.
Right? Ensure kids get a proper diet.
Mm.
They're going to school hungry. Even if you own your student is on the reduced
meal plan,
and they eat the majority of the meals at school, you still have a responsibility of the parent to make sure they eat something that's healthy in the evening,
mm.
the best you can. And we know everyone is not. In the same economic condition, but do the best you can. You know, McDonald's is not a healthy meal.
Right.
It may be cheaper, but it's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Bedtime, choose a specific bedtime. Make sure that kid is in bed at a particular time. Make it age appropriate. Maybe a high school kid can stay up an hour later than an elementary school kid. And when they go to bed, take that phone. Turn off the Wi-Fi. Eliminate them waking up while they think you're sleeping and accessing that technology,
hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Minimize extracurricular activities on school nights. You can't hang out with your friends on school nights. Other things, use parental controls. Technology is amazing these days.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many parental controls on phones, Wi-Fi, gaming systems.
Hmm.
That helps you minimize the amount of time. Set goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let gaming be a reward. If you bring home straight A's, you get more gaming time.
Yeah.
If you get a B, I'm going to minimize your gaming time. If you get a C, I'm shutting the game off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so these are things we know, but we don't, you know, none of this is rocket science. But what can you do? These things are parenting.
Yeah.
But you have to want to parent.
Mm,
and unfortunately, true. We have kids born to black and brown parents that was born too early. And these young people don't have parenting skills.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's one of the things I was going to say, that the parents are younger and they didn't even have the parenting skills taught to them.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like this two-edged sword against one another. It's
then it becomes a community issue. And that's where organizations like the Helen Institute come into play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, access the community, develop parenting skills, you know, come up with these ideals. You know, this is a community issue. And so the community should be available to parents to bring resolve to these matters, because ultimately, every student eventually graduates to the community.
Mm. Right. Wow.
And are they prepared to serve to the degree that we need them to serve?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Because things are not getting easier.
No, that's not. It's not at all. Not at all. And we got to be engaged, like you said, brother. You said it right. We have to have those engagements and the tools. And this should encourage those who are listening today, who may be those young parents, like Ron is saying and Joanne is saying, that don't have those skills. But you've got to become engaged. And so you got to engage yourself enough to go get the tools. You got to care about something enough past your inabilities, because what's happening is maybe you're telling yourself that you can't because you didn't. But it's never too late.
Right.
Never too late.
Never.
Let me say this last thing that sums all this up in a special way. Most of us know who Kevin Garnett is.
Yeah.
One of the most phenomenal power forwards to play in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Had a phenomenal career. You know, has had a phenomenal life. There are not many negatives you've ever heard about Kevin Garnett. Appears to be just a good person. He recently filed a lawsuit against his long-term accountant. And the lawsuit claims that the accountant stole, over time, $77 million from Kevin.
$77 million.
Wow.
$77 million. And we say, wow. How do you get into position to anyone, your accountant spends, steal $77 million from you?
You not know it.
You know how that happens?
Mm-mm.
He's poorly educated. He's poorly educated. He's a phenomenal athlete, but he needed somebody else to manage his money. The three of us will need anyone else to manage our money.
Yeah.
We're educated enough to manage our own money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if we did, we're educated enough to know way before $77 million that you're stealing from me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He was not able to audit his own financial records. So young people need to know, even if you have dreams of being a celebrity or dreams of being anything, and all those lessons, you didn't read the entire lessons.
Mm.
You didn't do the math the way you were supposed to. All those pages you can rip out of a book because you have no exposure to those pages. And in many cases, it's piles and piles of pages. They represent education that you missed. Somewhere in that miseducation is an education that will prevent you from having someone steal $77 million from you.
Absolutely.
It's all in miseducation.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So even if you're looking to become an athlete, the number one thing that happens to athletes, someone steals money from them.
Mm.
And the reason why we continue to do that is because we know athletes historically to this day, they're phenomenal at what they do, but they have a whole lot of miseducation on the floor.
Mm.
So get your education.
Powerful.
Powerful. Get your education. That's what's very much important right now. And you explained a lot when you talked about that a sports person. That hit it right there. Because it has always been my question, how are these people spending this much money or allowing people to come in and take this much money from them? It's because they were never taught on how to handle their money. They were never educated in that area. So it's just miseducation in any area. It could be something else, you know, but just how important education is. You all have really just that stuck out to me today even more than ever. I took so many notes. I always like to sum up at the end, but I can't even sum up this because it's so beautifully, powerfully presented. We are at the top of the hour, and I know, Dr. T, you probably want to respond to that sports example there. But the thing that stuck out to me the most, and I think all of it did, but when you said not every teacher can teach every child, but every child can learn. That is powerful. And that's what's going to change the public school systems, the private, it doesn't matter. The college campus system is just going to change education all around. We get that in our mindset. And then we begin to help the kids to believe that just because that teacher cannot teach you doesn't mean that you can't learn. It doesn't mean that you can't access who you are and where you're going in life, but because you can. And I like that you are starting this because I don't think there's a conversation around this. So the approach is amazing. There was just so much given here. Setting those goals came out to me. The learning environment. How many of us are actually creating learning environments in the home for the child before they get to school? Missing right now. Some still don't have computers in their home, or they're taking the kids' computers, or, you know, and using them for their own fun, or they're good. So just beautiful words and very professional, highly educated words and messages spent here this time with you all. But Dr. T, I'm going to let you give the final words, but I would like for you to go over those seven, I think it's the seven tools you had started on.
Those are really good.
And just go through them just real quickly, naming those 7 points at the end. So Dr. T, I'm turning back to you, but that's my comment on this great time on the podcast today. I think this is special. And I think it needs to be heard. And I know you're going to do fantastic. And it's going to be accepted because the parents need something now. And what's key here is that parent portal more than anything else, that parent pace, because the parent is going to teach the kid how to get on pace and it help recognize their pace. And when they both are on pace together, guess what? They help the teacher's pace stay on pace. It just, and then it becomes a team. This would be a team moving forward to give me a better education so that I can become a better person and I can contribute to my world, to the community and the world I live in. Because what you said, Ron, when we graduate back to what? The community.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Mm.
Dr. T?
I think, like you said, I just love you being here, and I love the tools that you share because, like Joanne, I believe it's so crucial, and I believe God's giving you some divine tools because people get frustrated, not so much when they're looking at something they can't overcome, then people are not telling them how. Right. And this is good because now we know we may not can change what that big thing that's there, but along the way, we can make change that will eventually result in the change.
Absolutely.
And that's freedom in that. There's liberty and there's, I mean, it's good. So excellent job.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So end us again with those 7 tools and then be done.
7 tools. Generalize. Mm-hmm. 1, set the pace, parents. 2, establish education expectations. 3, establish a learning environment within the home. 4, manage expectations and manage that environment. 5, create strict controls of time spent focusing on education activities. Remember, formal education is a function of time. Strictly control that time. Six, manage activities that distract attention from educational activities. Manage activities that distract attention from education activities. That means make education a child's number one priority. Restrict everything that distracts from it. And finally, monitor and inspect. Monitor and expect, parents. And to the degree that you can apply these seven, or as many as you can, I guarantee, to the degree that you implement these seven tools, you'll see a marked increase in your child's education to the degree that you implement these tools.
Excellent. And I want to add to that, from as a child that grew up, I was last in my class in a private high school where people were excelling. And I came from inner city schools that the education was the best they had. But comparative to this private school, you know, I was behind.
Behind.
But man, there ain't nothing better than when that parent and that teacher, or you get that knowledge and awareness that you can learn something. The ability and the thought to believe that you can think is such a great gift. Because once you start believing that you can think, the world is your possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I love it. This has been fantastic, gentlemen. Again, we thank you for coming on today. And I know you're going to have a successful day at your speaking engagement. You've been listening to BHM 365, Real Relationships with Dr. T, the people's psychologist, and his special extraordinary guest, Ron Hickey. You will find out more about Ron Hickey and Dr. T in the biography notes on the podcast. So thank you for joining us today. May God bless you and keep you.